Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For those of you who are new to the church, every summer, I and Pastor Carey preach on a few movies. And this week, we have a story called The Bucket List. The story begins with Morgan Freeman's now very famous voiceover voice. We see a man climbing a mountain in a parka through the snow with a backpack. And we hear Morgan Freeman's voice say this: "Some people believe that a life is measured by those left behind. Some say it can be measured by faith. Some say love. Some say life has no meaning at all. Me, I believe you measure yourself by the people who measured themselves by you." The Bucket List is a story about two men, Edward Cole, who is played by Jack Nicholson. He is a rich man who buys and privatizes hospitals. And the other person is Carter Chambers, who is a car mechanic, played by Morgan Freeman. Carter is this wonderful self-made man. He can answer every single question on Jeopardy and any question that anybody asks him. He has a wife and three grown children. Edward has been married a few times, is not married at present. And he buys these hospitals and sort of does hospitals on the cheap, is what he says. Carter first finds out that he is very ill, and he ends up in the hospital. And of course, Edward starts to cough up blood. He is giving a presentation to this board about why he should be allowed to buy another hospital, and he finds out that he is very ill, and they, of course, end up in the same room. And Edward is very unhappy. He wants out. He wants his own private room. But his assistant reminds him that his motto has been all these years, "I'm running a hospital, not a spa, two beds to a room, no exceptions." So his assistant says, "It'll be a nightmare, a PR nightmare, if you have your own room," which forces them to be together. Now, Edward has brain surgery and then starts chemotherapy. But after his surgery, Carter's wife, Virginia, who has been a nurse her whole life, realizes that nobody comes to visit Edward. And she thinks it's very sad. But after she leaves the room, Edward says to Carter that he thinks visitors killed more people than diseases do. Now, they do spend a lot of time starting to get to know each other. Carter's children have become an attorney, an engineer, and a world-class violinist. Edward says, "Well, I'm not married at this time. I've been married lots of times." Carter says, "That's okay. I've been married long enough for the both of us." Edward admits that he has been married to his work his whole life. Carter talks about himself as a young man and how he wanted to be a history professor and how that dream went away when they found out that Virginia was pregnant. And he said, "I was poor and young and black, and I had to take whatever I could get." They help each other through the suffering and the vomiting and all the kinds of things that happen when you've had chemotherapy. They discuss the five stages of death: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. They both decide that they're both in denial. And when Edward finds out that the treatments aren't working quite the way they'd hoped, the doctor tells him that he has about 6 months, maybe a year, to live. And he doesn't take the news very well. Carter thinks that's interesting because he's always thought that if he knew when he was going to die, that would be helpful. He said he read a survey once where so many people were asked, "If you knew the moment of your death, would you want to know? Could you know?" And 96% of the people said no. And he said he always thought he was like that 4% who thought it would be liberating to know when he was going to die until he found out when he was going to die. Now, Carter had been working on something that he wouldn't show to Edward, and he balls it up and he throws it on the floor, and Edward finds it, and it is the infamous list, the bucket list, what you want to do before you kick the bucket. And on his list, Carter has written, help a complete stranger for the good. Laugh until I cry. Witness something majestic. Drive a Mustang Shelby. He told Edward that when he made the list when he was a young man, what it said was, make $1 million and be the first black president. Edward says he thinks the list is a little weak and pretty light, so he starts adding his own stuff to the list, skydiving, kiss the most beautiful girl in the world, get a tattoo. And Carter says to him, I've taken baths that are deeper than you. Now, Edward convinces Carter to go see the world with him, to actually do the things on the bucket list. And Edward has tons of money, and Carter doesn't want to go home. He and his wife, Virginia, have had a strain between them for a while. He doesn't want those looks that people will give him when they know that he's going to die. So off they go, and they do everything. They skydive. And when they make it through the skydiving, which Carter hates, Edward says to his assistant, Tommy, we live to die another day. And Carter says to the assistant, is it Tommy or Thomas? And he says, it's actually Matthew, but he finds that too biblical. Edward gets a tattoo, Carter doesn't. They race cars on a professional track. They wreck the cars. He drives his Mustang Shelby. He pretty much kicks Edward's butt on the track. But as they fly around the world on Edward's private plane, they start to have those existential conversations that would be normal at this time in your life. Well, they'd be normal if you were blessed enough to have someone to share them with. And they'd be normal if you had the courage to speak all those thoughts out loud. They're flying on the jet, and they have a very interesting conversation. Carter is looking out at the world and at the beauty of it, and he says it's indescribably beautiful. He says, stars, really one of God's good ones. And Edward says, so you think a being of some sort did all of this? Carter says, you don't? Ah, differences. You mean, do I believe if I look up in the sky and promise this and that the biggie will make all this go away? No. Carter says, then 95% of the people on the earth are wrong. And Edward says, it's been my experience that 95% of the people are always wrong. Carter says, well, it's called faith. Edward says, I envy people who have faith. I just can't get my head around it. Carter says, maybe it's your head that's in the way. Is there a sugar plum fairy or not? No one has ever gotten over that question. Carter says, well, what do you believe then? And Edward says, I resist all beliefs. No Big Bang, no random universe. Edward says, no, we live, we die, and the wheels on the bus go round and round. Carter asks him, well, what if you're wrong? He says, I would love to be wrong. If I'm wrong, I win. And Carter says, I'm not sure it works that way. Edward says, do you claiming that you know something I don't? And Carter says, no, I just have faith. Now, I thought about this conversation an awful lot because Edward cannot believe in anything. And Carter believes that all that he is witnessing was planned and that having faith means that you don't have to question it. I'm guessing that most of us wouldn't want to be where Edward is, where we don't believe in anything, where we envy people who believe in something, who have a life of faith. But I'm guessing a lot of us wouldn't be where Carter is either, asking the questions, without asking the questions, how did it all start? Where is God in the midst of the day-to-day? How does the universe work? How do my experiences in science teach me? So they had good questions, important questions, and they were on opposite ends of their beliefs about them. They fly to Paris, where Edward shares with Carter that he has a daughter named Emily that he has not seen for a very long time, that they're estranged. And Carter attempts to add this to the bucket list to go back to see Emily, and Edward gets mad and grabs the list and says, no, he isn't ready. So they fly around some more. They go to Cairo, they go to Tanzania and Johannesburg, they go on a safari. And while they're sitting high atop, overlooking the pyramids, Carter says that the ancient Egyptians had a beautiful belief about death. He said, when their souls get the entrance of heaven, the gods ask them two questions, and their answers determine whether or not they were admitted. Have you found joy in your life? Has your life brought joy to others? And it is then that they have a conversation where Edward reveals that the reason he's estranged from his daughter is because she was with a husband who hit her, and he took care of it. He didn't have the young man killed, but he made sure that he never bothered her again, and she never wanted to see him again. They go off to the Taj Mahal, and they begin the great question about what to do when they die, burial or cremation. Edward says, I know it shouldn't matter, but I'm claustrophobic. Do they still make those caskets that have the little bells? And he says, and what if I feel the flames? And Carter says, not for me, cremation. And I want to be buried high on the top of a mountain with a view. And I want to be buried and my ashes put in a chock full of nuts coffee can. Chock full of nuts, the heavenly coffee. And says to Edward, coffee that no money can buy. Edward says, I wouldn't bet on it. And it is at this point that Edward says to Carter, can I call you Ray? I'm going to call you my main man, Ray. So now he's changed two people's names. They go to Kilimanjaro, which is where Carter has most wanted to go. That is the mountain. But it is bad weather and they cannot go up. But it is there that they have a discussion of reincarnation. And Edward says, you know, I don't understand this moving up. How does a snail move up? You know, what do? Lay down a perfect track of slime? You know, so they have a discussion about what it means in the Buddhist faith to move up. Now they return home. They feel like the mountain is telling them it's time to go back. And when they go back to the United States, Carter tricks Edward, and the car that they're in pulls up in front of Edward's daughter's house. And they have a terrible fight because Edward does not want to go in. And they have a falling out. Carter, on the other hand, goes home to his family and his grandchildren. And you see him with a big meal. And he looks across the table at Virginia. And he remembers and she remembers why they're together. And they look around at this wonderful family that they have. But it is that very same night that Carter collapses and has to go back to the hospital. So when he does, Edward comes to visit him. And Carter shares with him some good news about the coffee that he has been drinking all his rich life, called Kopi Luwak, the best and most expensive coffee in the world. Edward has always drank this coffee. And Carter shares with him how the coffee gets its flavor. Apparently, tree cats eat these coffee beans and defecate them. And the villagers scoop it up and make this very special coffee out of it. Well, they start laughing, and they laugh until they cry, which was something that was on the list. And so they mark it off. Carter goes into his surgery. His family sits and prays. And Edward reads a letter from Carter. And in it, it says that his pastor always says, our lives are streams flowing into the same river towards the heaven that lies in the mist beyond the falls. And he tells Edward that he should find the joy in his life and to close his eyes and let the waters take him home. So Edward goes and sees his daughter, and he meets his granddaughter. And when he kisses the little girl, he has kissed the most beautiful girl in the world. Carter does not make it through the surgery. And at his memorial service, Edward says that the last months of his life were the best of mine, that he saved my life and he knew it before I did. He had done something for a complete stranger, for the good. another goal on the list. Edward said, I think I can safely say that we brought some joy to one another's lives, so someday when I go to some final resting place, if I happen to wake up next to a wall with a gate, I hope Carter is there to vouch for me and to show me the ropes. And at the end of the movie, we once again see the young man climbing up the mountain in the snow. It is Matthew/Thomas taking Edward's ashes to his final resting place. And we hear Carter tell us that when Edward dies, his eyes were closed and his heart was open. And Edward was buried next to his friend in another chock full of nuts coffee can. This story does remind us that we have no promises for tomorrow, that we should do some of those things that we always said we would do, like jump out of an airplane or climbing all the 14ers or sipping a glass of wine while watching a Tuscan sunset. We did that one. The story is about the connection, though, of all of our human stories. Edward says to Carter at one point, I wish I knew you before we were dead. I wish I knew you before we were dead. There are so many people that we need to know before we die. Some of them are complete strangers. Some of them are right before us. Some of them are even in our own families. They talked about faith. They talked about religion, and nothing got settled. But there was a transformation that took place. And not because of what each of them believed, but because they were both willing to risk. And not just risk jumping out of an airplane, but they faced their own mortality with their eyes wide open, their hearts wide open. And they shared their sacred stories with each other. And that was the real gift. If Carter is right, that we should measure ourselves by the people who measure themselves by us, then I'm guessing Jesus had it right. It was not what he believed. It was his actions. It was his integrity. It was a life that any of us could measure ourselves against. If we would ask what Jesus would do, he was on the beach a lot, and he drank wine, so I'm hoping he sat with his friends on the beach and watched the sunset and had a good glass of wine. But it was his friends, and it was his life that we measure ourselves against. As Christians, we look at his life, his commitment, his teachings, and ultimately his sacrifice. And his sacrifice, he must have had some of the same existential angst that Edward and Carter have, that we have, in those last days of his life. But he kept on doing it. And he did it because his life fulfilled that number one thing that Carter had on his list, to help complete strangers for the good. We are the inheritors of that. Carter and Edward's story is about faith, faith enough to reach out to another human being, faith enough to share one's life in the darkest moments when those questions become at us fast and furious. We do not know what constitutes eternal life or immortality. We know we have now. We have this moment. But I think we would fulfill our call as followers of Christ if each day we could ask ourselves two questions. Have you found joy in your life? Has your life brought joy to others? May it be so for you and for me. Amen.